A frog walked into a fortune teller. And the fortune teller looked in her crystal ball and she said, "Oh my goodness, I can see your future. There's going to be a young maiden who's going to be very interested in you. She's going to be wanting to be very close to you, and she's going to want to know everything about you." And the frog was very excited and said, "Where am I going to find this young maiden? Which castle do I go to?" And the person looking in the crystal ball said, "Well, you won't find her in a castle. You'll find her in biology lab." I'm glad that worked. We all have a fascination with the future, don't we? We all want to know what the future holds. We're all excited about 100 years from now, 200 years from now. Some of us are excited about what happened 100 years ago. I myself think I should have been born in the Victorian age. I think that was the age that I would have... I wish I'd been in the Victorian age and very wealthy. Let's put it that way. Otherwise, I'm not sure I want to live in the Victorian age. But that's just, there's something about living in different periods of time and experiencing that that I think that we all want to be a part of. And especially the future. I mean, think about some of the amazing things that have happened in the last 50 years. If you were born, there was just an article in the paper about someone turning 100 years old. That means they were born in 1912. Think about what the world looked like in 1912 and what has happened in the last 100 years since they were born. I mean, they've known cars and telephones and televisions and all these things that have happened in the last 100 years that we, if you lived in 1912 and said, "We're going to have a thing called a TV," you would have looked at them like they were crazy. And yet, that is exactly what has happened in this world. And so, me, as an exciting techno geek, I would love to know what's going to happen in 100 years from now. There are some things on the drawing boards now that I am convinced that will happen before I die, and I hope they do. One of them, I'm sure you've heard about, or maybe you haven't heard about it. It's called Google Glasses. Have you heard about Google Glasses? You haven't? Well, you need to watch this then. All right, how many of you want a pair of Google Glasses? Oh, all the young kids are like, "I can't wait." Okay, I want a pair of Google. They're not invented yet. People have been calling Google's like, "Where do I buy a pair?" They're not there yet, okay? You got to wait another 50 years until they invent them. This is just a video. They're talking about what could happen in the future. And I'm excited about the future. We're all excited about the future. I'll tell you one other thing I'm excited about. And this is automated cars. Do you know that this week, Los Angeles or California just passed legislation that allows automated cars to drive on the road? Because Google has been doing it for 2 years, and now they've passed this legislation. In Germany right now, they have the technology available that is actually working. It's a prototype technology that will drive you to, you drive to, let's say, the shopping center. You get out of the car, and you hit a button, and the car drives away from you and finds a parking space. And then when you're done shopping, you go outside and stand in the corner, and you press your button, and your car comes out of the parking space and comes and picks you up. Is that cool or what? How many of you want to be a part of that one? How many of you are hoping that when you get to old age and you can't drive anymore, there's automated vehicles that can take you wherever you want to go? I'm with that one, yeah. And safer. I mean, the future looks so exciting, and I want to be there, but the fact is there are a lot of things that are going to happen that I probably won't be there for because this is just a little blip of history. And there's a lot more history that's going to be coming in the future. And in a way, I'm kind of saddened that I don't get to see some of that exciting stuff in the future. And in a way, I think that Joshua is probably that way too. Because now we're into the book of Joshua, where we've now turned into chapter 13, and the Lord tells Joshua that there's still more work to do, but Joshua, you're not going to do it. Now that's a very sad thing, isn't it? I mean, here he has been a person who was there in Egypt, and he was probably in his, you know, midlife when he was in Egypt, and the Lord came and rescued him through Moses out of Egypt. They crossed over the sea. They went into the promised land, and then God showed them the promise. They were in the wilderness. God showed them the promised land. They came into the promised land. They conquered everything, and now it's their land to share, and it's a great thing, and yet Joshua doesn't get to be a part of it. And from Joshua 13, we're actually going to skip Joshua 13 to 21, because Joshua 13 to 21 is basically a delineation of all the different lands that all the different tribes of Israel get. And it's very detailed and time-consuming. We're just going to skip over that. So we're actually only a couple weeks away from the end of this book of Joshua. But think about Joshua. He was a powerful leader. He brought the people in the promised land, but he doesn't get to see the rest of what's happening. And I wonder if he felt sad. I wonder if he felt sad when God told, it's in Joshua 13:1, where Joshua comes to him, Joshua's old and well, advanced in years. The Lord said to him, "You are very old and there are still very large areas of land to be taken over." But Joshua doesn't get to be a part of that. And I think he probably felt a little bit sad about that, that he didn't get to be a part of the future. This actually happened to me once. Years ago, I was working for a consulting engineering firm, and I had been kind of the lead person to go after a proposal to get a project. And we spent 2 years going after this project, and in the end, we were awarded the project. I was so excited to work on this project, but the firm decided that I wasn't going to work on that project. We had some new blood. We're going to put them on it. And I remember how sad I felt that I wasn't going to be able to work on this project after investing so much of my life into it. But see, that's the way the world works, isn't it? Sometimes we don't always get to do the things that we want to do, but we get to do the things that God wants us to do. I'm sure you've all heard about this. If you look at a tombstone, you typically have the date of birth and you have the date of death, and in the middle, you've got that dash. And a lot of us we all live our life in that little dash. From the moment that we're born to being in our parents' arms to going to school to perhaps getting married or having children to going into old age, that's our little dash. And some of us don't get to go beyond that dash. From the moment that we die and take our last breath, the world takes off and moves beyond us that we don't get to see. And we would like to be a part of it. How many of us would like to just jump 100 years in the future just for 5 minutes to see what it looks like? We'd probably be freaked out by it, okay? But it would be a cool thing, and yet we don't get to be a part of that. And neither did Joshua. But see, when you're only focusing on the dash, you're really not focusing on the big picture, are you? Because you're just a little dash in a world of dashes. And if you're focused on only what that dash is of your life, then you're what Martin Luther calls a curvatus in se, a person that looks only upon themselves. What can I do? What is my role in life? And the things that I, me. But life is bigger than just you. Life is like that beehive that goes on from the beginning of time until the end of time. And Jesus Christ came into this world to be a part of that timeline that started with Adam and Eve and the fall, and it's this timeline that God has weaving through time until the end of time that goes through Joshua. It goes through David. It goes through Jesus Christ. It goes through Paul. It goes through disciples. It goes through Martin Luther. And yes, it goes through us, but it'll go through people after us. It's a timeline. And we may have just a dash of that timeline, but the world goes on beyond that, and God's power and God's providence goes beyond that. And if we look just at ourselves, we're just looking at one small bit of that timeline. But if you look at God and focus on Him, you can see the grand timeline. We see it in Scripture. We see it in the life of His church, in the life of His church. Take a look at Joshua chapter 13, verse 6 through 7. "As for all the inhabitants of the mountainous regions, from Lebanon to Misrepheth, Maim, that is, all the Sidonians, I myself will drive them out before the Israelites. Be sure to allocate this land to Israel for an inheritance, as I have instructed you." You see, there was still more work to be done with Joshua. Still more land to be conquered. Even though Joshua wasn't going to be a part of it, Joshua could have the confidence that because God was in part of it, it would happen. So much so that God tells Joshua to go ahead and hand out that inheritance so that the people who are there in the tribe of Israel, those people that are going to get this land, even though it hasn't been conquered yet, they know that it's going to happen and that it is their land. And even though Joshua isn't going to be there to conquer that land, God will be there and God will make sure it happens. And sure enough, it does happen. They take over the land. God is still in control. And God's little timeline is still, God's large timeline is still weaving through time. And they have the confidence assurance of knowing that their little dash isn't just a little dash. Their little dash is a branch on the root of God going through time. You know, I don't know if you know this, but I've decided that I need a hobby of all the different things in life that I do. And so I want to plant grapevines on my property. You laugh, I'm going to do this. This is going to be great. Now, they're going to die. Okay, so we know that that's going to happen, but it'll be the experience. And so I've been doing some research on grapevines, and I find out that you can take a healthy grapevine and you can go get branches of an unhealthy grapevine if they've got the right fruit that you want, and you can cut them off the old branches and graft them onto a new grapevine, and they get healthy with the new grapevine. Did you know that you could do that? I did not know you could do this. I will never do this because I'll never have the healthy grapevine. But if I had the healthy grapevine, I could take the graft off the old unhealthy grapevine and put it on the new one. Well, see, we're like that unhealthy grapevine. Our lives are like that. Our little dashes are unhealthy until it's been grafted into the big, healthy grapevine of Jesus Christ. And because our lives may by themselves seem so small and insignificant, when they get grafted into the gospel of Jesus Christ, into the life, to the purpose, the story of God that exists from the beginning of time until the end of time, we're no longer little dashes. We're part of an amazing story. And someday when all the dead shall rise, we'll sit in heaven reviewing that story over and over and over again and seeing what a wonderful thing that God has done in his creation and looking at that storyline. And we get to do that because we get grafted into him through Jesus Christ. What a great thing. That's the story. That's the great thing. I would love to know what's going to happen in the future. I would love to know if there's going to be driverless cars. I'm pretty sure there's going to be driverless cars. I'm pretty sure that I'm going to be able to go call my car and it'll come and pick me up, and then I'll say, take me to Texas, and it'll take me to Texas. It'll be a great thing. I wonder about Christ's Lutheran Veil. I wonder about what we're going to be like in 100 years. And you know, we only get to experience just this little part of it, this beginning part, which is a very exciting part, don't get me wrong. But I think about in 100 years, what's this church going to, in 200 years, what's this church going to look like? How is God going to bless the Vail community through this church in 200 years? And what technology will be there? Will we be like the Matrix and you'll get up and go to church and meet all your friends and go home, but it'll all be in your mind because it'll all be through the Matrix, right? No. We're going to still get up and go to church because we're going to do that. So future generations, we're going to put that in the charter. You have to do that at this church. But I don't know what the technology is going to be, but I know that this church will be around, and I know that God is working through this church to bring about his timeline, to bring about his future. In Jesus' name, amen.